you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everybody. This is Nikki Paranormal, and you are listening to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. And I will be only one of the hosts that will be joining you this evening. The other would be Rob from Live Paranormal. He actually, and he says that I don't give him a good enough introduction, but I'm just going to lay it on thick. He is a wonderful gentleman who really dedicates himself to everything that he does, whether it be the paranormal, whether it be live paranormal, whether it be live paranormal television, or any of the events that he does, like the Paranormal Supercon. For those of you who do not know what that is, head on over to www.paranormalsupercon.com, where you can find out all about the Paranormal Supercon and all the awesome people that are going to be in attendance. And speaking of awesome people that are going to be in attendance, our guests, awesome people. And I am going to actually go ahead and bring on the man who is Mr. Live Paranormal, and that would be Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how are you? How are you?
Good, how are you? I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. How was my introduction? I missed it.
I tried to lay it on thick. I don't know if I did it good enough for you, because I know you really like me to lay it on thick. I did tell everyone how awesome you are, and I told them about the Paranormal Supercon. Everyone joining you this evening on this side of things is going to be at the Paranormal Supercon, and tell them where to find out more about it. But I didn't remember to tell them to head on over to liveparanormal.com, where they can join us in the live interactive chat room. And I actually I'm in there now. I got to get my camera on, though. But people can actually see those of us, if you choose to, turn your cameras on within the live interactive chat and listen to the show as well.
Holy cow, did you take a breath in that? That was like the
longest.
No,
I did not. As a matter of fact,
wow.
I'm really good at that. I know.
Well, I missed the introduction. I was talking to our guest in the green room, and I missed the introduction. So I won't know until I hear the archive if it was a good introduction or not. So I guess I can't comment on the introduction this week because I completely missed it, so.
Well, I hope you give our guest this evening as wonderful as an introduction as I gave you.
Which introduction should I do? Your introduction from like 3 weeks ago when you just said, "Here's Rob," or maybe I'll call him Lovely, the Lovely Dustin. Dustin, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm sitting here dunking some double stuff Oreos, waiting for you to get through the introduction.
Right. Well, my introduction was short and sweet. We didn't Hindenburg it, I guess you would say.
No, absolutely. It's very charming, sir. Well done.
Thank you. The lovely Dustin Perry.
There you go.
So, we appreciate you calling in tonight with your hectic schedule. I know it's tough to get you to do an interview because you're always...
It is a little crazy, man. It's been, this year especially, has been pretty nuts. The last 2 years have been pretty crazy, but... I try to make time for you. I like the good people at Live Paranormal. I like to have a good time.
Well, I appreciate that. You may or may not be lying, but we definitely appreciate the... Well, we just had, about 3 weeks ago, I think we were together in York, Pennsylvania, and I had a good time.
Yeah, not romantically,
Not.
Oh.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that. Because I'm
I know that it's completely cool. It's just, we're both married. It'd be really awkward.
Some people may have been confused by that. It was an event. Right. We did spend time in New York City together and some other, I guess maybe we shouldn't talk about St.
Yeah, no, see, now you're making it weird. Now you're making it awkward. Now people are going to have questions, dude.
Making it much worse, huh?
Uh-huh.
Worse or better, it's all kind of the same.
Let people talk, let the rumors go. It's publicity.
That's right. It's good to have a little scandal now and then. It's just the world needs a little more scandal.
Right, that's what we need. So,
yeah, and it's pretty disturbed tonight, Rob.
Right. Wow. So anyway, we had a good time as always. It was cool to hang out, and we will see you again next weekend. Not the weekend coming up, but the weekend after at the Paranormal SuperCon, which I know.
Super Duper Con,
and that's the Super Duper. Yeah. If you don't have the ticket set, you can actually buy the Super Duper VIP package on ParanormalSuperCon.com. Yeah. So
I just kind of feel like if people are going to go to SuperCon, they might as well go all out and do Super Duper Con because, I mean, don't half-ass it.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm considering the change for next year just to put in the duper because really what, adding a duper, really what does it take? Just
people like the duper.
I
think it could be worth it. It's a much better description.
Yeah.
Right, super duper because, it, you know what it is? The way I feel is that an event needs to grow. And really, where do you take the SuperCon but to the Super Duper Con? I think the only obstacle is then where do you go after that? Because is it like then the mega Super Duper Con or, you know,
super freaking Amazicon?
Just got to keep super duper.
You'll get there. I think you'll get there, buddy. Just little baby steps, but I think you're going to make it.
That's the marketing genius of the whole thing is that it's going to grow. And so we'll go from super to super duper and then, you know, go from there. And, yeah, I'm all about marketing and ideas. Every show, whoever the guest is, I have some kind of crazy idea that I leave them with so they can, market themselves and make some money and stuff. Last week we had Chad Coffey on, and he was talking about how people want to buy his scarves and his socks. And I thought we came up with the idea, why not? You know, you put your socks in a washing machine, sometimes you can only come out with one. You don't know where the other one's at.
Oh, yeah.
He should be selling his singles on eBay or his website, because that would be...
Yeah, everyone should, really.
We could do a matching situation.
Right, people just throw them out. You know, he's throwing out his socks. He's probably wasting $25 per sock he could get easily on his website or eBay.
Yeah, I love puns. I'm big into puns, so I'm thinking it'd be called, like, Chip Coffee's Soulmates, because it's like, you know, there's one soul of his foot out there just without a sock, so looking for the other one,
right.
So then he auctions it off. I'd buy a Chip Coffee sock. Why the hell not?
I would buy a few of them, really. Yeah.
You can't have two. He only loses one at a time.
Well, I can't get a matching set, but I could get multiples, you know, and I could put them, like, you know, all over.
I suppose.
Obsessed
and then
with
if you want to be crazy, you
could
get extras for your hands and have, like, sock puppets, and you could have a Chip Coffee sock puppets.
That might be going too far.
I could never go too far. That's one thing that I think you both can attest to. I'll never go too far when it comes to my ideas. But,
no, I'm thinking at some point during Super Duper Con that we should hold him down and take his socks right off.
Well, then we'd have a magic set.
Well, no, but we'll disperse them amongst the crowd, like, randomly. There's Chip Coffee's sock. Like, people would be surprised, maybe a little, like, confused, but then they would be excited, I think.
Like, it's a crowd starter.
It'd be mass hysteria.
A lot of times people, you know, if you throw, like, live paranormal shirts into the crowd or whatever, but instead we just throw the socks in. You know, I just, we had Samantha Hawes on, and she also sells soap. And I was confused why she doesn't sell any kind of, like, ghost soap, or what I like is the ghost soap on a rope. And,
right, because it rhymes, and people like rhyming.
Yes,
right.
Do.
And I probably, who doesn't like a soap on a rope? Plus a ghost
I don't
soap
know anybody who would not want to have ghost soap on a rope. But how about we can incorporate Chip in there? Ooh.
So
yeah,
we unlimited options. But Dustin, I've known you for quite some time, so let's get into the nitty gritty.
Okay, sir. It's time for nitty gritty. Let me get serious here. Put my cookies away.
So people obviously remember you from Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, and now Ghost Hunters again. I was a big fan of
third time around. But third time's the charm, Rob.
It is. And so hopefully this time, you know, the downside was I really like Ghost Hunters International. I thought the locations were fantastic. And I don't give out compliments at all.
Not usually, no.
No, I don't. It's awful. It's like nasty and crabby and mean. But the international show I thought was very cool because it gave the viewers the opportunity to see, you know, you guys go and do some of the coolest places I think in the world to investigate. So I was kind of saddened that it didn't last longer and, you know, your stay didn't last longer. But it's good to see you back on Ghost Hunters. And when does that come? It's the end of August, correct?
Yeah. August 26th, I believe, last Wednesday of the month. They'll be starting that up. So they just announced it like last week, I think. So it should be pretty sweet. It's funny, man, because like that actually is season 10, which we finished filming at the end of last year. And then there's just, I don't know why, like scheduling, whatever, they just held it up until now to release it. So we're actually on the road already filming season 11. But there's 13 episodes that we shot and filmed for season 10. There's a lot of good investigations, a lot of cool stuff. So I mean, it's been quite the hiatus, but I think that that people will really enjoy it when it comes back on.
Well, you make the people crave for it, and then you hit them with the good episodes. So it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, no, see, and you're the marketing genius. You came up with Chip Coffee Sock.
That's true. I'm actually looking at your website right now, the ParanormalRockstar.com. I like the website. Good website. I like the video here. I'm watching the video of you doing, well, not a lip syncing, but it did give me an idea. We've been watching on television that the lip syncing contest. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. Lip sync battle, for sure.
We should do that. That's my idea for the show tonight. Is that we'll come out of this. We should do that, and you should do an episode of the paranormal version. We could use this.
Yeah,
this
we could
video.
Do that.
Do
we
it
could,
online.
We could film some at Super DuperCon.
It's getting better because we will all be together at the same place. So that makes
sense.
Yeah,
it just makes sense.
It does make sense. So we will do the paranormal lip sync contest.
Paranormal lip sync battle.
I'm not sure if that would be interfering into your contract if you had your contract with.
Nah,
screw
it. We can do whatever, guy. I don't. Whatever. I still have a day job.
Well, plus I don't know if they have. It would be kind of bizarre to me if you were not able to, entertain a lip sync video requests, because I think that'd be an interesting, clause to be in any contract.
I'm pretty sure it's not in there. I'll have to look it over, but I'm not really too concerned about it.
Have your people look it over for any lip syncing clauses and let us know.
Yeah, I'll call my people. They'll call your people. Somebody will figure it out.
Yeah, that would suck, though. There's like clause A on section 14 shows us specifically no lip syncing.
Like, why would I sign that? You'd think I would have read that.
I don't know, but anyway, so back to, the Ghost Hunters thing. I still think
like international better. I know. I can't make it come back. I left before it was canceled. I have nothing to do with it.
I know you did, but I'm telling you that left. Is it Left Castle or Left? It's Castle, right?
Left Castle, yeah.
That's my favorite episode when you played a significant reason why that. When you, I believe in that episode, you mentioned you're in the, was it a church? At the top of the church, and you asked.
It was a little chapel. Yeah, they have a little chapel on top of the castle. Yeah.
And I believe you said, hey, I hear you like to push people, so push me. And then you went flying down.
Yeah, I learned a lot there. I learned a lot of things. Like, sometimes you get what you ask for. You need to be more respectful of things you can't see. The spirit world is a lot more powerful than a lot of people give it credit for. And also, very important, anytime you're doing an investigation, you're wandering around, especially in the dark, if you have an opportunity, to keep your back to an area that is full of hay, like most of the chapel was, or stand over a rough, rocky patch of ground, choose the hay. Because apparently I thought, I can just stand here, and then I get knocked down, and then land on the rocks. So that was a bad idea. So now anytime I'm in a place, I always kind of keep that in mind, like, what's behind me? In case something happens, and I'm going to go falling, I need to see what's there. But all these years, it's never happened again, thankfully.
Well, it wasn't like as, it wasn't obscene, or it wasn't like you were, you know, overly vocal, but you did, I remember you saying
yeah.
that, and does that change your approach at all throughout the
year?
Yeah,
man, quite a bit. I mean, I mean, even, you know, outside of comedic value, I'm not one to be vulgar for anything, but especially when it comes to addressing, you know, the spirits of been here before us or passed on before us, I just think that taking a respectful approach gets you a lot further, you know, especially if you're just doing EVP work and stuff. Being more cerebral about your subject matter and asking them questions that would pertain to them, or something that would, you know, evoke some type of proper response, is much better than just throwing out a bunch of insults and stuff. And it just seems kind of like, I don't know, to me it just comes off kind of like pompous, and I just think there's better ways to do it. So I try not to do any of that. And that's just not in my nature really anymore even to do that. But at the time, it seemed like a good idea. And, you know, you do get some responses from it. But I always tell people, like, if you're on a date with somebody, you can insult them. And it's pretty much, you might get a real big response that's going to end the date. And I want to try to prolong the encounter. You know, I want to try to get as much out of any interaction that I can. If I can get a couple of EVPs out of being respectful and being polite, then I'd rather do it that way.
No, I definitely agree. And I know you've been investigating for quite some time. What was your very first investigation?
Oh, geez. There was this place in Smithfield, Rhode Island, that was known as the Old Witch's House. It was a three-walled little stone shack of a, you know, remnant of a house at one point. And there was really no probably facts of the idea. It was this old witch's house or anything like that. And not that anybody that practices witchcraft or anything is even somebody that's a, you know, a bad person. But, you know, when you're younger, you go with the local legends and stories. So that's what we went and checked out. And we used to go there quite a bit, probably just get scared more by stories and legends than anything else. And then the locals that lived around there that didn't like people poking around down there, they were kind of scary in their own right. So it was always a nice, and lent to a bit of adventure, you know. And now I always tell people that you shouldn't go wandering around these abandoned places, because a lot of them can be very dangerous. This place is very safe. It was, like I said, it was three walls, and it wasn't, you know, anything bigger than like a garage shed or something. But some of the big vacant buildings that people go wandering around in are very unsafe, and that's the reason they're closed. It's not because, you know, the police don't want you in there talking with spirits. They don't want you falling through the floor and breaking your head. So, but yeah, that's where I started. I was very excited last fall. I thought I was going to take my wife and my daughter through there to show them where this all began for me. And it looks like they leveled most of the area and put condominiums up. So that was kind of disappointing.
It sucks. It makes you feel old too. I had Nick Lance on, but was that last weekend? Last week, Nikki, and I was talking about my first big paranormal experience at Ohio University, and apparently that place has been long gone. He didn't even know about it, so it's
sad
when that stuff happens.
Yeah, man. We're getting old, damn it.
It's not good. You know,
I'm trying to fake it and still look young, but damn it, getting old.
Yeah, I mean, myself as well, but I think we talked about this at the event in New York that I think we've known each other at least 7-8 years, so.
Yeah, that's amazing. It sneaks by, dude.
It does.
It's always kind of jarring to me when I'm doing an event or something, or someone will come up to me at the store or something and recognize me, and they come over like, I've been watching you since I was a kid. And I'm like, oh, that's like a stick of holly right through the heart. that's no good.
Yeah, that's bad. I don't have that happen, but I would cry.
The only thing I can say is, not to play to the vanity thing, but I've looked at some of the pictures and stuff that people post online from like back in like season 2 and 3 at Ghost Hunters. I don't look that much different. I mean, I look bigger. Like physically, I think I've worked out more. I don't think I've eaten a lot more, but thankfully I've kept the pounds off. But face-wise, I pretty much looked the same. I went from blonde highlights to a couple of grays here and there. But other than that, I think we look the same, so that's good.
I think everyone thinks they look the same, though. That's the only thing. You're not, I feel I look the same as well, but then, you know, I say that and then, you know, people are probably snickering in the background, but when I straight out dye my hair, and I'm not afraid to tell people, you know, so I use that. That helps.
Did you think that this conversation tonight was going to result in you divulging the secrets of your hair?
No, but I don't care, though. I'm all for it.
Isn't that fun?
I love the way things take random paths. It's almost like being a spokesman. You know, if you're feeling like you're old or whatever, just go get the Just For Men. And hopefully maybe Just For Men will be listening. And they'll be like, hey, we can hook Rob up.
Hey, this guy's all right.
Got a sponsor situation.
Yeah, that would be sad, though, too. They think your sponsor's Just For Men hair dye. No, that's not good.
No, because remember Emmett Smith did that. And everybody was like, oh, he's old. What happened to Emmett Smith?
Right. My sponsors, you know, it's bad enough I fell and broke my hip. It's like my sponsors would be like insurer.
So you're going to be on insurer, yeah, for sure, man, absolutely.
Depends, insurer.
Definitely
Medicare
depends, yep, the whole nine. AARP, senior discount days, I could see it now.
You might have to change the whole network, it's like Barely Alive Paranormal. That's what you're down to.
Yay, that was good. Right.
We'll just have to start our showtime like around 4 p.m. because I'd be too old to stay up.
Right before the early bird.
right before supper or something, yeah. Well, anyway, I don't have a good segue from talking about hair dye and supper.
Yes, but there's very few. That's a hard one to come out of.
If I came out with a segue, it would be really, I would, my radio skills would be phenomenal, but they're not. But I did want to talk about, I have to completely change the topic here, but you have written some books, and I know you were circulating a new book, which I have not purchased or read. Obviously, I haven't read it yet because I haven't purchased it. But I think I'll be able to, will we have them at the SuperCon?
Yeah, bro. I'll give you one when I see it at SuperCon. You should have told me the last one. I would have guaranteed it. But I'll give you one when I see it next week.
Hey, you never know. I might have stolen like 10 of them when you left your booth, too. So, you know.
I thought my bag felt a little light.
I'm wearing your shirt right now. You didn't even know it. Reading your book.
I got a pair of boxers that are missing.
Yeah, it's awful. But, So tell us about the book, is what I was going to say. I wasn't going to.
Real smooth, Rob. So yeah, man, the new book is called What's Next, and that's been out just for a couple of months now, and hopefully it'll be given a nice big push when the show kicks off again next month. But I'm really proud of it. You know, I've written three books, two with Barry Fitzgerald, both of them very heavily focused on the paranormal. And this one here, which is What's Next, is a little bit of behind the scenes of what goes into making a show, what goes into pitching a show. And it follows me as I travel over the course of 2 years, flying from one event to another event. I only wrote when I was traveling and trying to get some things done. And it follows me from when I left Ghost Hunters International basically to now, which was actually a six-year period, but just the epilogue kind of catches you up to where I am now. But, you know, when I left GHI, like I came back home and doing the event circuit for a while and trying to provide for a family on that and trying to figure out what's next in my own life and trying to get a new show pitched and get that on the air. And then it kind of came together in almost like a documentary film where you think it's going one way and then it kind of swerves and goes another way, but it teaches, you know, a very important lesson. So doing a lot of motivational speaking and stuff, as I have been over the last couple of years, I thought it was important to put this book out there because it, for those who like the shows, it gives you a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff. For those who just like my insanity, there's a ton of that. But then there's this nice redeeming quality of the whole idea of where we're all going in our life and how we sometimes become stagnant. You know, we get comfortable in where we are, and so many people I meet, like, oh, I hate my job, I hate this, and blah, blah. But, like, no one wants to put the effort in to change it. know, all too often I hear people with the, oh, if it's, you know, if it was just that easy. It's like, well, it's not supposed to be easy. If it's something that really means a lot to you and it's worth changing, then it's worth doing it. So the whole idea is, you know, reaching out for what's next in your own life and finding faith and strength to move on to get there. So I've been really glad to see a lot of people have written some very kind words on Amazon.com where you can pick up the book. There's been a lot of really kind reviews about it, and a lot of people really seem to be enjoying it. So really proud of that one, and I'm already working on the follow-up for that, which I'm hoping to get out this fall.
And you do have them with you at your conventions you go to? That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. I always try to bring a handful with me to each show and have them there for people so I can, you know, I can sign them and stuff.
Cool. Well, I definitely want mine signed.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
With a giant letter on the front. Thanks for your friendship and all this other stuff. But
Yeah. I might have to add a couple of pages to the book just to finish writing the dedication to you.
Right, the dedication would be great. I mean, you know, no pressure.
Yeah, no, not at all, brother. Not a problem.
Well, but I have read your other books, and they were all fantastic, and, you know, they weren't like, you know what I liked about them is they were more specific to the point. You know, there weren't a lot of fill. There wasn't a lot of fill there. There wasn't a lot of drawn out just to get to 600 pages or whatever, you know. You kept it.
Yeah, no.
There's
no sense in just writing for the sense of just trying to make the book look larger than it is. I just like to be short to the point. Here's a little crazy anecdote on the side. You know me, man. My brain doesn't work as well as everybody else's. I get distracted quite easily, so there's a lot of little sidebars. But I think they always come back home to a good point, so I'm enjoying that. The new book's going to be kind of long because the new book is the one I'm working on now. The idea was to write every day for a year. And so just based on that alone, obviously it's going to be a little bit more sizable. But there's some days where it's just like one or two sentences because I just don't have a lot to say, you know. But I wrote something, so... So hopefully people will enjoy that too.
That's a lot of pages. So that
hell
might
yeah.
Take me. Well, if I read one page a day, I get it done in about a year. So it'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be great. You know, I think that's what you should do. It should almost be read like a daily like motivational type thing. Let's see what Dustin was doing last year at this time. Man,
yeah,
he's a crazy bastard. And then go on with your life.
Right. This day last year, Dustin was doing this. Like one of those calendars that you pull off like every day.
Yeah,
and, like,
right.
Like,
exactly. No pressure. Just enjoy it.
Right. This year, this day in 1920, and there was some Babe Ruth hit on, you know, 5-0, or something
yeah.
like that. And we,
right.
I think maybe
I wasn't around in 1920, but, you know.
No, we're not that old yet.
Not yet, bro.
You should do a calendar. Do it as a calendar. I think maybe I just have an idea for you. One of those pull-off calendars.
There you go. A page-a-day calendar.
A page-a-day calendar.
It's possible. I get a lot of quotes out there. I've got a couple
there's
of people that have really been very supportive and helpful. Like, you know me very well, man. I live on Twitter. I love being on Twitter. I like the interaction I have on Twitter with people. It's just, it's quick, it's easy, and it gives me a great opportunity to reach a lot of people. And then I've got a couple people on there. I've got Miss Carol Jean, who runs my Team Dustin Perry page on there, and the Twitter account, and gives people updates on what I'm doing, and throws like all the flashback photos and old tweets and stuff in there. So it's really cool. And then we have Perry Prints, which is a new thing that's run by this nice woman, Jen, and she puts together like these little just random pictures of things I've put down over online over the years on Instagram or whatever, and put some of my motivational quotes with it. And she just put a whole new website together, perryprince.com. And we're not officially linked in any way, but God bless her. She does a lot of great work, and a lot of people seem to be enjoying it. So I appreciate her helping to extend my reach. Because I'm all about, like, trust me, I love the paranormal. I love the spirit world. I love doing all the stuff that I do. But to me, the bigger thing is the ability to reach out to other people and help other people and inspire other people to do whatever they want to do. You know, it doesn't have to have a spirit world or ghosts or anything else attached to it, but just daily life. I really feel like we're all meant to help each other while we're going through this thing, you know. So I've been given a little bit of a platform here thanks to the shows and such. So I'm going to use it to the best of my ability to try to help as many other people as I can.
So in essence, the day of the calendar would be a hit.
I think you're a genius, Rob. You're a genius.
It's been said before.
That's true. I was there many times, and I've heard it said by other people.
Right. It's like that's what Nikki should use as my intro. Genius, not lovely. Mark, write that down for next week.
Oh, okay. I will definitely take note, but I don't know. You might not get that one out of me. I'm sorry. I can't.
You can try to break out the thesaurus and find other superlatives to reflect such things for him.
Yes, I probably could. Yeah, I don't know if that's the one I'd look up, but yes.
I mean, let's be honest. It's my website. If I want to build myself up the way I want to build myself up, I'm going to do it.
That's right, buddy. You go for it.
You know, like a WWE type of entrance where they put music and it goes off. That would be
a little
great.
Pyro in it. Yeah.
Right. And you know what's great is that now you're going to appreciate this segue because we have a question in the chat room that's a long time ago, which I saw this. There was somebody had seen a YouTube video of you doing wrestling. And I believe he did a special appearance or something. So
that was up in Massachusetts, up near the Vermont border, and it was a fundraiser for something or other, some local thing, and they'd asked me to come up and like do a meet and greet with the crowd, and then they wanted to get me involved in some wrestling angle. And I always loved wrestling growing up. So I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I went up a couple hours early because, you know, all you need to learn any type of wrestling is a couple hours. So I went up there a couple hours early to work with the guys and learn a couple of moves and stuff. And I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was fun. I didn't, however, expect the gentleman wanted to make sure that I sold it and made it look as good as it could be. So he really hit me several times. And I had come home the next morning. I had welds across my chest and everything. I was like, "Well, that was not as easy as I thought it was going to be." But the people seem to enjoy it, so that's good.
So you won't be making a career change, then, is what you're saying?
No, sir. Nope. I did it once. I can say I did it. That's about it.
You don't secretly train in your basement or anything when you're down the road?
Nope. I go to the gym all the time just to try to stay healthy, but I think the childhood dreams of being a professional wrestler are over.
Yeah. I've been following this new dream of trying to get on American Ninja Warriors for next season.
Yeah, my daughter's convinced that I can do that. I was like, honey, Daddy did a Spartan race, and that was pretty much it. She's like, no, you can do this. I'm like, no, Daddy can't do that.
Well, I'm looking for a training partner or a motivational partner. So if you're interested, let's talk afterwards because I'm all for it.
I'm concerned about your hip. I got to be honest.
The hip has been reconstructed. It's fantastic. You know.
So maybe they've built you stronger now. Maybe that's your strong side.
I'm pretty sure it's better. That's what I'm going to go by. But I just hate to be like. You're like the bionic man now. Right. But then in reality, I'd probably go on that trampoline and my leg would just buckle. people would be like, oh, disgusted. Bone. The bone and the rods are just sticking all out and stuff. And you have to cut the commercial. You know, that's the end of bad head, I guess. So you don't have to think like that.
No.
The trampoline can be tricky. Well, that's the thing. Is like how often I really don't go on a trampoline, so I think that would be my downfall. So doing the trampoline.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not climbing all the stuff or jumping over the water, but just the trampoline portion.
Right. The rest, the breeze, the trampoline is what
really. That's right. You could be similarly crippled by the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
Right. You could probably go to the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese, and that's where you get your training on the trampoline. Sure, show up there with your gym bag and your headband and go for it.
I'm going to work out here in the back locker room, changing up next to the poor dude that has to dress up like a mouse. It'd be great.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Now you gave me something to go scout out the Chuck E. Cheese, but anyway.
So where did the magic of Chucky come together? I want to see that area.
Well, and you know the worst part about the interview right now is that I've given myself no segues throughout the whole show. You know, I usually pride myself
no,
to be able
fine.
To say something, but I got nothing.
We just keep rolling with it.
It's like some sort of like attention deficit disorder tonight or something. I'm just going all over on.
What do you mean tonight? I've known you long enough to know that this is how most of our conversations go.
Right, just a bunch of random stuff. But
my daughter actually told me the other day she saw one of those Chuck E. Cheese commercials, and now they changed Chucky. He's more slender. He's lost a lot of his girth and a lot of his good time feel, and he's got a longer rat like snout. Instead of the little happy face that he used to have. And my daughter looks at it. She's 8 years old now. She says, Daddy, we haven't been at Chuck E. Cheese in a while, huh? I said, no. She's like, have you seen that commercial? I said, yeah, they changed him. She's like, I think that place has gone downhill. I said, yeah, you might be right. I don't know.
Well, I think, I don't want to get the Chuck E. Cheese reps upset, because you never know when they'll be listening.
They're
to
They're a big
a,
sponsor. No, I understand. Yeah, Super Duper Con 2 is brought to you by Chuck E. Cheese.
You never know when the folks at Chuck E. Cheese are listening to Late Night Paranormal Radio. but when I was young, it was completely different. It was awesome. I don't know if it's just maybe from a young person's perspective,
right.
But I remember it being like a Dave and
seemed like it was great.
And now it's like... not like a Dave and Buster's. I prefer to take my kids to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you've ever been to Dave and Buster's, but...
Yeah, I've been to Dave and Buster's. I feel like now when I go to Chuck E. Cheese, it's like the sweatshop of, like, children entertainment, It's just like, oh, here we are. Here's the pizza we're going to microwave for you. Somebody kick Chucky in the ass and send him out there, and we're done.
Yeah. Not what it was. All high school kids working there, and they... do their dances half
hour. Yeah, they're probably canoodling in the ball pit after hours. I don't want my kid in there. Yeah.
No, the presentation's all downhill. Since
it is. My daughter's right. The whole thing is falling off.
She's very, very wise beyond her years, I guess. But I'm going to go back to... people are like asking questions right and left here in the chat room, and I'm just completely
they just don't
want to
hear his banter anymore. Yes, let's handle some questions. Let's do them like rapid fire.
Right, let's do them like rapid fire here. So we have a question based on, I'm trying to paraphrase here because it's scrolling down. EVPs, when you were on Ghost Hunters International, were you getting them in the foreign language when you were there? Or were you getting them
It depends on the country. Here's the deal. We talk about, every time this comes up, I always talk about universal consciousness theory and the idea that when we pass on, we tap into something that's greater than we are. So the idea of linguistic barriers and stuff, due to knowledge base, due to age at the time the spirit had left this world, and due to just natural, foreign languages and such, that does not seem to represent a problem. I've had times when I was in Ireland where we've received EVPs in Gaelic and ancient tongues that we had to get translated. I've asked questions down in South America in Spanish, and I've gotten correct EVPs in response, sometimes in English and sometimes in Spanish. So there does seem to be, the opportunity for us to speak beyond that linguistic barrier, which is fantastic. We did do a lot of work trying to speak in the native language. They edited most of that out because we pretty much butchered every language we attempted. But I think if nothing else, in the terms of doing an EVP session, it at least showed to the spirits around us that we were trying to be respectful, that we were trying to make the effort to come across, appropriately and in a familiar way. But thankfully, we didn't have to rely on that all the time. And we often would get answers correct in both the native tongues and also in our own.
Now, what about when it comes to the, certain countries maybe have different beliefs when it comes to paranormal in general? Like, I know I have customers in my day job, and they'll find out that I did something paranormal, and they'll be from a different country, and it'll completely freak them out because they're not as mainstream as it is here in the United States. Have you ever come
right.
across any like crazy things that you know, you're in a country that might not really believe in doing any type of investigating? Have you ran across that, or is it pretty
much? One of my favorite moments that happened off camera, we were in France, and we were with this squirrely little gentleman who was our client in the French catacombs. And he, like, takes us on the tour. We go through all the stuff. And then as he's leaving us, he's like, well, have fun with your silly nonsense. And I'm like, what? He's like, well, I don't believe in any of this. I'm like, but you just asked us to look into this and this. He's like, well, because people tell stories, but everyone in France knows that it's all nonsense. And I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? I get very confused right now. But, you know, it's just, it is what it is. Some people just, whether it's a cultural thing, a religious thing, or if it's just a personal thing, you know, there's always going to be people that believe or don't believe. But we always try to be very respectful to the local cultures, you know, when we were there, trying not to do anything that would be upsetting to them or out of line. So I think that we always conducted the investigation, you know, in the appropriate ways and stuff, to make sure that we were always being respectful.
Right, and but I'm sure you run across that even here when you're doing any type of investigation. So that's just based on, you know, someone's personal beliefs and stuff too. But
America is a big melting pot at this point. So you never know who you're going to be dealing with or what their beliefs are. But I mean, I think that's something that Barry and I touched on a lot in our second book, in the My Home is Haunted Now What, is we took cultural different stories from different cultures and worked within their belief systems and within their understandings. And that's something that investigators, you know, here in the States need to keep in mind, especially when you're dealing with, if someone's invited you into their home to look into something for them, you can't just operate within your own faith all the time. You have to understand their belief structure and what they may be involved with and what may be going on with the home. And sometimes you have to work outside of, you know, your own understanding. But that's a very important part of it.
Well, I definitely agree. And I think the ethics and stuff behind paranormal investigating is sometimes not always adhered to, but
right.
Yeah, you know, it's good to, you know somebody like yourself who kind of sticks and believes in ethics. So, you know,
some of us are trying, brother. Some of us are trying.
Right. And, you know, I know you do a lot of work, and we talked back about your quotes and doing motivational speaking. And I'm not sure how to form this into a question, but one of the people in the chat room mentioned that they see you doing a lot of posting for suicide, you know, the hotline, if someone, you know, is in need of help. What, besides that, is there a couple that maybe are close to your heart that you try to, you know, promote or sponsor or get involved with?
I try to always put out on all my social media things and my lectures. The suicide hotline is something I put out at the end of the day every day, because I just feel that in a time, and something I talk about in my motivational lectures a lot, is we're living in a time where, you know, you pick up your phone and you can communicate with people on the other side of the world so easily at the touch of a button. But at the same time, a lot of us, I feel, aren't taking the time to listen to some of the other people and hear what they have to say and to really listen to them and see that some people are really hurting and in need of someone to talk to. So that's why that's so important to me. I often put out some other stuff too, just about abuse, you know, domestic abuse and child abuse. And I feel like, you know, we're all kind of charged to look after each other. And I feel that a lot of people get told that they're bad or that they're worthless. And, you know, you beat somebody down enough, at some point, unfortunately, some people will start to acquiesce to that idea and actually believe it. And I just want people to realize that, you know, they have value and that they have worth, and that just because something happens to you in your life, you don't need to be a slave to it your whole life. and it's not easy, I understand, to kind of stand up for yourself sometimes and to move forward. But, you know, you got to find people that are going to stand there with you and help you through that and just not determine the rest of your life and your life's outcome based on the interactions that you had with one person or three people that were, you know, just unfortunately bad people. So it's something that I just try to do. And I don't know, man, I just I hate to see anybody hurting, and I hate to see anybody downtrodden, and I hate to see other people pushed down and held down. And I know, like, bullying and everything's like a big buzzword type thing lately, but it's something that goes on in various aspects of people's lives for years. And sometimes when somebody's treated like that, they continue to let everybody treat them like that because they think that's how they are. But we need to lift each other up more and not, you know, just be stepping on people to try to get ahead.
Is that something you cover in your motivational speaking as well, or is that just something that you feel strong about so you put the word out there on a daily basis?
It comes up, man. Sometimes, you know, depending on my lectures, because they're all a little different, sometimes I ask the people to leave out like a pen and paper at each seat and have them write down something personal that they want to ask about anonymously, and then just collect them and go through them. And sometimes something like that will come up. So I'll talk about it a little more in depth. Other times I'll just, you know, kind of graze upon, just glance over it or mention it in passing as it relates to something else I'm speaking to. But it's something that I always try to put in there. I think at the core of all my motivational speaking is just inspiring people to just never give up, whether that be in chasing the dream, whether that be in, you know, shirking off something bad that happened to them in their life. I think that's the most important thing, is to just never give up in life, because, you know, it's I'm very blessed. I work my tail off. It's not easy, but, you know, I've been on the television shows a couple of times now, and I've had a day job for the last 14 years or so that allows me to both do television and then also provide for my family, which is great. I got a great group of people out there that support me and believe in me, and a very great family at home that I love and care about. But none of it's easy, you know, and I get out there every day and I get on Twitter and I try to inspire people, keep things happy. And I think sometimes people get this deluded idea that every day for me is you know, all rainbows and lemonade over here. But there's some days that it sucks. There's some days where I'm just like, oh, I just want to lay in bed and do nothing. But I have to practice what I preach, you know. It's like, I get out there and I stand up strong and I smile bright sometimes just in pure defiance. But you just can't let the bastards get you down in this life. So sometimes you just got to get out there and just struggle through it. But through that struggle is where growth comes from. We become stronger, and we grow bigger and stronger, and then we're able to go on further.
Well, that's very motivational. We should have you on for like a motivational minute or something with Dustin Perry. We should do that.
You've got lots of ideas, Rob.
You know you're going to hang up with me, you're going to start working on that calendar.
Not saying you're lying, buddy.
All right. Because I'm sure you have, what, 365 different quotes or sayings you can use per day.
Yeah, I'm sure, but it's actually not a bad idea, sir.
Certainly not. It started off as a joke, but it's rounding out to be something pretty
See,
pretty
full
serious.
Circle. That's what I like. This is why I don't like to plan things out. Like sometimes, like if we didn't do it for this show, quite obviously by anybody who's listening, but sometimes like I'll get a host like, all right, so then I'll talk about this and I'll ask you about that. I'm like, no. Let's just see how it goes. Because I just feel like things travel in a natural path. I don't even check the weather forecast. I just get up and see what the hell's going on and get out there and see what I can get into. I just feel like life is much better unscripted, you know? I just take it day by day. And, yeah, our little interview started out with some jokes, and then we talk about this and that, and then we talk about the calendar, and then we talk about some more nonsense, and then we get a little serious, and then, boom, we're back at the calendar. Brilliant.
Well, you know, it all comes full circle to the calendar, which I think it probably should have come full circle to the paranormal super calendar have been better, but I guess the marketing genius.
Well, maybe this year what we'll do is we'll work on making the calendars available for Super Duper Con next year.
Right, the big release party. We can have like a red carpet release party.
Red carpet release party.
Yeah, I think it's going back to being prepared. If anyone had listened to our 2 or 3 minute prior to the show conversation in the green room. I was like, hey, do you want to talk about anything? You're like, nah, not really. I'm like, all right, good, me neither. And then we're like, let's go on.
Exactly. We talked about the All-Star game, the fact that neither one of us have watched it. There was some talk about cookies. It was great.
I'm so upset I'm not eating cookies and you're eating cookies. It was kind of a it was a bad
show. Well, I finished the cookies as it's getting late, so I just had my Flintstone vitamin and now I'm preparing for slumber.
Yeah,
I like the sandwich
really sure
of the day between the vitamins. I like one in the morning and then one at the end of the day. In the morning, I used to do this even when I was on GHI. I would travel with them. If I get a Betty was always my favorite when they started making her. Originally, they didn't make Betty as a vitamin because her waist was too thin. Hanna-Barbera drew her in this crazy super, you know, model type image, and she had a tiny waist. When they tried to make the vitamin, they'd all break in half, and nobody would want a half of Betty. It was getting kind of macabre, so they just didn't make them. But then they thickened it up a little bit, and they made them. So when I was on the road, if I get a red Betty vitamin, that was like my little signal from God, like, this day is going to be magical. All of them are pretty good, but you got a red Betty, things are going to happen to you now, and I still hold on to that.
That's what will bring you to the supercons, a big bowl of red ones.
A big bowl of red Betty vitamins. I overdosed myself on iron and vitamin C.
And nothing wrong with a little blood poisoning.
I've been in rehab. What are you in for? Red Bettys.
Well, I'm sure people will definitely enjoy talking to you at the Paranormal Supercon. They can stroll along in the
absolutely. And for anybody listening who doesn't know how to properly stroll, please find Rob at the Live Paranormal Supercon because he can show you a stroll like very few people can do.
I hate to toot my own horn, but I believe that I do have the proper strolling perfected.
Dude, it's fantastic. It's like watching somebody stroll in a 1950s movie. It's just beautiful.
It's flawless. I had time to perfect it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to be known for.
you may, in fact, go down as the best stroller in modern times.
I hate to be this broad, or this, no, I won't be broad. I'll just go with, how about the Stroll King?
I like that, the Stroll King. That's nice.
Right.
That's nice.
It rolls right off the tongue.
You know what it is? Because when I watch you do it, it looks very unrehearsed. It looks so natural. Like, we talked about a lot of people do that repetitive, like, kick all the time. And it can't be repetitive. It's got to be kind of alternated. And you've got that kind of like, oh, shucks, kind of look on your face, and little hands in your pocket. It's beautiful, man. You stroll like nobody else I've ever seen.
Well, and that's the thing, is when you need to rotate your foot, because if you rotate your leg, because when someone does a proper strolling, like every third or fourth step, it's just kind of like an extended step, like an extended kick.
Yeah.
You know, but not too much, because you're not karate kicking anyone in the shins or anything, but it's just a little bit of a extended.
We don't want any strolling incidents and accidents.
Right. And if you keep using the same leg to do the strong, it's like a march.
Yeah.
Like the Nazi march.
Exactly. You look like you're trying too hard, you know?
So we're closing in on the last 5 minutes here of this wonderful interview and promotion for both the new season of Ghost Hunters, which we touched on, your book, Paranormal Supercon.
Yeah. We covered a lot. I mean, we sandwiched it with a lot of nonsense, but we covered a lot of great talking points.
Yeah, I'm not really sure the ratio of nonsense to quality interview, but it's probably
I'd give it a good 60-40, I think.
Right, and you know what? The people like to get to know Dustin, and I think that's what I'm trying to bring to the table tonight, is a little bit of insight. And, not the whole, wait, what's your favorite EVP? Because I think you've maybe told by a paranormal your favorite EVP 30 times. So we'll stay away from that tonight.
Sounds good. Sounds good, brother.
Right. And, you know, it's definitely been great having you on. You know, I look forward to seeing you at the Paranormal SuperCon. And everyone can see us at the Paranormal SuperCon, July 24th and 25th in Erie, Pennsylvania. You can buy your tickets at paranormalsupercon.com. Stop by his table. He'll talk about anything. It's always nice because he's very very humble and very personable. You know, we like to talk about sports. And if we didn't bring up sports today, which I'm sure my co-host Nikki is dumbfounded that I didn't work in the Ohio State Buckeyes into this conversation.
I am blown away how that, but you just did now, so never mind. I was actually going to start wagering, like, you know, I was going to do it beforehand. I'm glad I didn't do money on
all of my interviews have to include how awesome Ohio State football is, so.
Well, I'm glad we've covered that topic now, yeah.
It's a topic worth
seeing. If I would have guessed against it, I would have lost. But,
it's definitely
I didn't bet any money.
But we you know, the one thing about Dustin and I, Nikki, we're both Miami Dolphin fans. So, you know, we do have that in common.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I grew up in South Florida. I grew up around Dan Marino, and oddly enough, Clayton Duper. So
Super Duper.
The Marcus.
He was once married to a Dolphin fan. That didn't work out.
Dolphin fan. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I used to be married to one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the day, and I'm not a big, obviously, as you know, I'm not really a big sports person. I'd rather play it than watch it, but you know, that's just me. I'm glad for you guys. I'm glad you guys have football and other sports.
What?
And go Buckeyes
and
go Dolphins or whatever.
It's always go Buckeyes. I think we're going for a back-to-back championship now. We have Urban Meyer, but I digress. I think the Dolphins have a legitimate playoff chance.
I think this is AFC East championship year for sure.
Ooh, that's bold. I was thinking.
No, I'm feeling strong, guy. I'm feeling good. We've got some speed at the wideout position finally. Tannehill's finding his stride. With Wake and Sue on the line, we're gonna kill some quarterbacks and we have a great season.
Well, and Tom Brady's not as agile as he once was. He's older than us.
No.
So.
Yeah. He's getting there.
This could be the year. I wasn't going to go that bold and predict a East.
I'm not saying we're in the Super Bowl championship. Not even saying we're even in the AFC completely. But I think AFC East. It's time that there's a change in the guard. You know.
And his mouse come from sunny Miami, Florida.
Might as well. There's really not much else going on. I mean, the Jets, the Bills, nah.
No, I don't see it. And, you know, it's a blessing I have a second team because here in Cleveland we don't play that quality of football. So, you know, it's nice.
It's a damn shame.
It's awful.
Damn shame. Especially well, thanks so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to the event next weekend, man. I'm going to have a great time. I hope a lot of people come out and hang out and see us. And, you know, I always appreciate your friendship, appreciate our happy nonsense, and thank you so much for having me out tonight.
I definitely appreciate it. I will talk to you soon and see you soon as well. Thank you for taking the time to call into Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. And
all right, thanks, guys. See you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, Nikki, we have a minute to do a quick rundown on Live Paranormal SuperCon, and just want to make sure everyone knows that it's only, 9 days away, so.
I know, it's crazy, right? Yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, I've got the one downside is now we have the little tedious task of making sure I have my wristbands and my lanyards and everything, so, you know, just wrapping that up, but
yes.
If you haven't taking a look at the website paranormalsupercon.com, please do now, and you can see the lineup. We have over 60 featured guests, 38 speakers, and 3 paranormal investigations, and Chip Coffee will be doing his gallery, so there's something. It's a fun-filled 2 days. It's jam-packed.
Fun.
So I just want to thank everyone for listening.
Good time, lots of things to learn and participate in.
Well, thanks again for listening, and we will see everyone next week.
Yep.
you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our Live Paranormal Radio show host and other like-minded people. Live Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.